Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for this evening broadcast. I have a simple message for you tonight from the Scriptures about this procedure of child killing called abortion. There are various different procedures, ways that it is carried out, but biblically it is child sacrifice. And I want you to be familiar with two passages, both from the second book of Kings, which I'm going to read in a moment, and show you the significance of. But understand that we're talking about this in the context of an abortion policy that we have had in America for 46 years, allowing abortion throughout pregnancy, including procedures like this, the dismemberment of a baby, this particular baby, at 23 weeks of age. Lately, in these recent weeks and days, the debate has reignited about late-term abortion, and I have always been saying that the focus needs to be on late-term abortion because that is what will wake people up. We go from the more obvious to the less obvious, and when people are talking about viable babies being killed, even babies who survive an abortion still being killed, babies being killed in pregnancy up until the day of birth, when we are talking about that, and it is happening, that's when people begin to open their eyes and their jaws drop and they say, really, is this really happening? How can this be? And it engages them into the debate about abortion and helps them to begin rethinking their position about choice and about Roe versus Wade, because it is Roe versus Wade that has unleashed in this country the policy of abortion on demand. Now, when those on the other side try to tell you that it only happens for medical reasons, it does not. Go to exposeabortion.net and you will hear the telephone calls that we have recorded when our caller from Abortion Free New Mexico, Tara Shaver, called abortion facilities across this country, said she was a woman 30 weeks pregnant, healthy mother, healthy baby, and they still scheduled the abortion. These procedures are happening in the very last stages of pregnancy on healthy babies carried by healthy mothers. Do not believe those who say, as people have said on national television in these recent days, that they happen exclusively because of health problems. And don't let people tell you furthermore, listen to those phone calls, exposeabortion.net. And don't let people tell you furthermore, oh, it's only a very small number. They'll say, oh, it's only 1% of the abortions that are done at 21 weeks and beyond. 1% of a million. We're talking about, at the very lowest number, 10,000 of these procedures a year in America. That's not a small number. When you say 1%, it makes it sound like a small number, unless you remember that you're talking about 1% of a million procedures. But the point tonight I want to make, and I'll go into some of these myths and lies and attempts to deceive that the other side is engaged in more detail tomorrow when I come to you tomorrow morning. But meanwhile, let's go biblical for a moment. And I want to read two passages for you from 2 Kings. The first one will be from chapter 17, the second one from chapter 24. When God brought his chosen people out of the slavery of Egypt and into the promised land, he gave them the land, but he didn't give it to them on a silver platter. They had to fight for it. They had to defend it against enemies that were all around them. And they were given very strict instructions. God gave them the land because they were his chosen people with whom he had entered into a covenant, which means he manifested himself to them. He let himself be known. He let his will and his laws be known. Blessed are we, O Israel, the prophet said, for what pleases God is known to us. So it wasn't a God that they were searching for in darkness. It was a God whose will they knew. They knew how to please him and how to be his people. And one of the things, one of the commands, of course, that God gave them was, you shall not kill. God told them, be careful, because in the nations around you, there are people, those nations do not know me. They are not the people of the covenant. They do not know my will. And so they engage in practices contrary to my commandments. Don't mingle with them, or else you will be led astray into practices that offend me, and then it will not go well for your nation. Be morally pure. Be faithful to the God of the covenant. And when you read through all the Old Testament history, it's a story of faithfulness, unfaithfulness. Faithfulness to the covenant because kings and prophets were leading the people in the right way and they were listening to them. Unfaithfulness to the covenant because some kings were leading them in the wrong direction, leading them to break the covenant. And when kings led them to break the covenant, terrible things happened to the country. And it wasn't because of military blunders or political miscalculations. It was because of moral failures. So much so that the 10 tribes of the north, the kingdom of Israel, as it was called in 722 BC, was overcome by the Assyrians and the people were taken into exile. Then in 586 BC, in the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, the Babylonians came in, overran the land, including the holy city Jerusalem, destroyed it, burned it, and took the people into exile. These terrible events took place because the people violated the covenant. But they violated the covenant in very specific ways. And here we come to the passages that I want to point out to you. So remember these two chapters. Second book of Kings, 17. Let's start with that. We read, starting in verse 5. Then the king of Assyria invaded all the land. Now remember, this was the land God gave his people. God put them there. But he said, don't mingle with the practices of the other nations, lest it go badly for you. The king of Assyria invaded all the land and came to Samaria, and for 3 years he besieged it. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria, and he carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and then the city of the Medes. Later on, let's go to verse 15. They despised, now it explains why this happened. Again, not because of a military blunder or a political failure, but because of a moral failure, spiritual failure. They despised his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and the warnings which he gave them. They went after false idols and became false, and they followed the nations that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves molten images of 2 calves, and they made an Asherah and worshipped at the host of heaven and served Baal. And they burned their sons and their daughters as offerings and used divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. Notice what it says here. They served Baal. This refers to a whole range of pagan practices, including the killing of their children in sacrifice to these false gods, to these idols, to these demons. The killing of the children led to the exile. And notice, they were offered as a sacrifice. Sacrifice. You give up one thing in exchange for another. The devil hates God. The devil wishes he could kill God. He can't. So he does the next best thing and kills what is made in the image of God, namely human life. And a sacrifice, you give up one thing in order to gain another. The devil doesn't care if you're sacrificing to Baal or if you're sacrificing to your career, to your education, or to your convenience. You sacrifice a child for some kind of better future, even just immediate future, and that is still a sacrifice. Abortion, the killing of a child in order to get something else, is child sacrifice, the same evil, the same shedding of innocent blood that is condemned in the Old Testament and that led to the exile. 2 Kings 17. And then, just seven chapters later, in 2 Kings 24, it gives the reason for the exile of the southern kingdom when the Babylonians overtook the kingdom of Judah. And let me just read what that chapter says. You can come to it and read it on your own later. 2 Kings 24. Again, we're going to read about the shedding of innocent blood. 2 Kings 24, in his days, this was in 586 BC now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the Ammonites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servants, the prophets. Surely this came upon Judah at the command of the Lord to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for all the innocent blood that he had shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not pardon. Now I'm going to show you this. Brothers and sisters, the exile came upon the people of God, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, for the same reason. It wasn't because of the strength of the Assyrians or the strength of the Babylonians. It was because the Lord commanded it. This is why Jeremiah, who foretold the exile from the Babylonians coming, was considered a traitor. They thought he was on the side of the Babylonians because he told the people of God, don't even resist them because they're coming as God's punishment against you. This was a spiritual and moral problem because of child sacrifice. What happens to a nation today? What is going to happen if we continue embracing child sacrifice? This is child sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, it's time to stop debating abortion just in the abstract. It's time to stop letting people fool us with nice-sounding language about reproductive choice and health and, oh, difficult circumstances that these people are in. Enough already. Reproductive health acts springing up. It's child sacrifice. And this is a medically accurate diagram produced by Nucleus Medical Media, who produce medical diagrams for medical textbooks and courtroom cases. And again, I want to show you close up what this procedure, the most common second trimester abortion procedure, dismemberment of the baby, what it actually looks like and does. And we have got to know this, and we have got to spread it, and we have got to show it, and we have got to talk about it, and we have got to preach about it, and we have got to stop letting people deny it and distort it and sugarcoat it and fill it with all kinds of nice language. There is nothing nice about this. The body parts are grasped at random with a long tooth clamp. There's the abortionist's hand, the baby's leg being grasped by the teeth of those forceps. And then part B. the body parts are pulled from the fetal body out of the vaginal canal. Again, the abortionist's hands on the forceps, and you see there an arm being pulled out, the hand, the arm detached. This happens while the baby is still living. We're not making this up, friends. You can look at Supreme Court testimony about how these procedures are taking place. This has got to end. Part C, the remaining body parts are grasped and pulled out. Look at this. The body is taken out in pieces. Brothers and sisters, this is not fiction. These are legal procedures, and the abortion industry is doubling down, and pro-abortion politicians are doubling down on the so-called right to do this, that this should be allowed, that this is legal and should continue to be legal, that the state cannot restrict this. Look at what is happening here. And then, and you can read about this in the medical textbooks that describe how abortion is done. Testimony of abortionists that has been given under oath in courts talk about the head is grasped and crushed in order to remove it from the vaginal canal. The abortionist describes the fact that a nip is made in the skull that allows it then to collapse. And the skull is brought out in fragments rather than as a unified piece. This is abortion in America. Don't let people talk to you about reproductive health. This is abortion. This is what we are talking about. This is a medical diagram. This isn't from the Bible. This is from a medical diagram. And brothers and sisters, it is time for this to stop. Let me just bring this back here and say a final word. Some people wonder why people like me devote ourselves full time to working to end abortion. It's self-evident why. When we see what it actually is, it's self-evident. I am asking you to stand with me, to stand with us, to stand with us at Priests for Life. We are one of the largest, most effective organizations in the world, and we are focused on doing one thing. We don't talk in these broad general terms, oh, we're trying to, you know, protect all life at every stage. We're talking about something very specific. We believe in life at every stage, but we exist for one purpose, and we want you to join us in this, to stop this violence, to end child sacrifice, to protect these children, along with every other good thing that we're trying to do in our world. If we can't get this right, how are we going to get anything else right? Would you join us? Will you be with us? Let me tell you, if you're not familiar with our ministry already, let me tell you where you can find us. We have a website which tells very clearly what it is that we are trying to do. And this is how you can get involved in this effort to end abortion. It's endabortion.us, because our focus is in the United States, because if we can end it here, we influence the entire world. Endabortion.us. We can get you these diagrams. We can get you much more information about how the abortion procedure is done. And before we even argue about it philosophically or religiously or morally or legally, we always have to start by leveling the playing field and simply show people what it is. As I always say, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. And you can help us do that. Endabortion.us. You'll find how you can get involved in the pro-life movement. We've got so many different things going on. Contact us directly. We will work with you if you're already involved in the effort to stop this killing. We'll help to make your efforts even more fruitful and effective. And if you're just getting aware of this and just getting involved, we'll help you to find the right place for you in this movement. We will help you. Our staff will work with you. I will work with you. And then finally, help us to do this work, because we rely only on you for the funds we need to do this work, and that's prolifedonation.org. If I could ask you, along with getting involved, help us to help you get involved and to help countless other people as well in that way. Friends, can we pray for a moment? Lord, we are astonished at this violence. We are astonished, Lord, that we have governors in this country and lawmakers, that we have, in fact, an entire political party, the Democratic Party, that defends and justifies this killing of children. Lord, we don't know what to say. It's beyond words. It's beyond astonishing. Lord, we can only turn to you and say, have mercy on us and change this. Wake up our fellow citizens. Wake up our lawmakers who are not facing up to this, and nevertheless they're defending it, and they're using flowery language like freedom and choice and reproductive health. Lord God, this is the tearing apart of a child. And for us, O God, who believe in you and who believe in your word and who believe in your scriptures, Lord, help us understand this is the same evil that brought down the entire kingdom of Israel and Judah, sent them into exile. God, you continued your hand of mercy on your people, but they went through grave suffering and devastation. Lord God, we ask you to preserve us in America today, because we're engaged in the same kind of sin. We are engaged in the same kind of evil, the evil of child sacrifice. God, have mercy on us. And Lord, grant that as our hearts are broken by this evil, they may be broken in such a way that we allow your grace to come in and then to strengthen us, turn our dismay and our infuriation, our righteous anger over this, Lord, transform it into energy to do good, to get involved in this pro-life effort, to speak up, to spread this information, and to get involved in saving these lives, changing our laws, and electing public servants who know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. God, have mercy on us, strengthen us, and bless us. And may he bless you and protect you. And may he protect all the children, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for spending some time with me tonight. I'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about this some more. And I'm going to give you some insight into some of the deception, the lies that have been going on in these recent weeks, in these recent days, in regard to those who try to justify late-term abortion. Don't miss it. Come with me again at 9 o'clock in the morning. And meanwhile, have a restful night. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. God bless you all.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.